tests and treatments and the snow and all that, we just stayed in Knoxville. We got 6 inches down there with my son. So anyway, and thank you all for being out on the chilly spring day. We're going to get into the Bible doctrine again here today. Probably going to rabbit trail off just a little bit. Next week is, I think he's calling it Surprise Sunday. So we're going to have a surprise for you. As you come in the door next week, there'll be some surprise bags back there. And it'll be a question what's in them, because I don't even know what's going to be in them. So anyway, everybody pick one of those up as they come in and invite people that's not been here. I know we've all been cautious about COVID and wearing masks and not being in crowds and shaking hands and all that, but it's kind of going away. The rate's really down right now, so hopefully through the summer we can all kind of get back and be a little bit more comfortable about being around crowds and whatnot. But I know some of us still feel like we have to wear a mask. Debbie does, because she's taking medicine that kind of makes her immune system crazy. But anyway, Debbie, we got a fairly good report. If you're in with Debbie, she had that scan, and the medicine she has been taking is working. They didn't change anything. It's kind of got the cancer at hold, at bay, and the doctor seemed to be okay with that. He said, if I can keep you right there for years, we'll stay right there. And so it was a good report, encouraging for us. So she has two or three more treatments, and then they're going to change her up and do some different things, different than chemo. So thank you for all your prayers for her, and I know a lot of you have been praying, and I appreciate that so much, and she does too. So again, praise the Lord. He's good. He's good all the time. In this world that seems to be flying apart in front of our eyes, there's things happening in the world today that we never thought would happen again in our lifetime. A lot of us saw wars in the past and World War II and then Korea and Vietnam. A lot of us was affected by all those things. And here we are again on the edge of a terrible situation. We need to pray. I keep thinking about those folks that I met there in Ukraine and Romania. Of course, there's nothing going on in Romania, but all those people are fleeing there now. What an open door for evangelism there in Romania. And it's a sad thing to see what's going on and know some of those folks that we visited there in Kiev and out in the country. We went out in the country about 2 hours from Kiev. Who knows what's going on there now? It's just a terrible thing. We need to pray for that country, pray for those people, pray for those Christians that are there. And lots of things going on in our world that pointing towards some things that the Lord's setting up. Well, let's get into this study today and on bibliography again, the study of God's Word. We're going to talk about inspiration and preservation today. And then I think next week I'm going to get into the inspired word and translations. A lot of us has been through those Wednesday night lessons from Pastor Lasley on translations. Maybe some of us don't have those handouts. I'm going to try to find some of those things that he did, the handout on translations. And there is not as much controversy around that today as there was 20 years ago, when people were still aware of the truth of God's Word and it being inspired of God. A lot of people today, we have a couple generations or so that don't think past the surface and go to other churches that uses versions and says things and preaches things that are not holy in God's Word. And here at Buffalo Ridge and in my life, we've used the King James Version all of my life in church. And Pastor Lasley has done that here in the past. And we are doing it today. We believe that that is the correct translation. But what has happened with our world as it is today, we have a generation or two that don't think about those things. They think about, well, I'm going to go to that church or this church, and some of them don't go to church, and have no thought about the depth of what is the Bible. Who wrote that? Some man wrote that? You know, you hear that from some people. Well, that's just somebody said that that's the way it is. Well, you know, that thinking is being taught, and sad to say, in some colleges and seminaries today, that inspiration in the Word of God is a thing of the past, that there's other beliefs and other teachings. And the Bible tells us that. We can read that here in just a minute. But anyway, we'll get into this inspiration preservation of the Scriptures, and I'll go through some data about that. But first, we'll start in 2 Timothy today. In the past month, here at Temple, and reading and studying, I've ended up in 2 Timothy a lot, in the teachings of Paul, and getting the New Testament church ready for the belief that things are changing and God's getting ready to come back, and there's a society is forgetting about the truth of the Word of God, and there's other teachings. And it was happening in that time, too, in the beginning of the New Testament. As it is today, it's gotten worse and worse. It waxes worse and worse, according to God's Word. We know all that's true. But do we think about that a lot in today's world that we live in? Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started in this reading here. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you for the Bible, the truth of it. And Lord, help us to realize what we know as the truth here in this setting with this group of people have been grounded for years. But there's a generation out there that don't know. Lord, help us. Help us to be a witness every chance we get. Help us to spread the truth about the Word, the truth about salvation. Lord, we thank you for your Word and thank you for the truth of it. Lord, help us to be witnesses for you in every situation that we get into, crossing paths with people. We go as we're going, and we want to tell people the truth, because the world's telling them another story, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us with that. Help us to understand the importance of studying things that we already know. We want to have a refreshing spirit about things, about the things of God and your word and the truths of it, Lord. Refresh us on that. Lord, we love you and thank you for your salvation. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this lesson to outline, we look at inspiration first here, and the definition of inspiration takes us to some verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that are very familiar. Let me get my glasses. If you listen to any of the news today, and some of the commentaries, there's a new saying out there, and they're saying it's the Great Reset. And I think that Great Reset applies to a lot of different facets, not only to the Bible, but to our financial systems, to our government, to the way business is done in the world. And all these things, if you look at what God's going to do during the tribulation period, is lining up for people. You know, often thought we know the truth of it, that when Christ comes back in the air and calls us home, the people that's left on earth are going to believe that what's going on is nothing unusual. We believe whatever they're told. Well, we're starting to see that there is a generation or two, as this goes on, that will believe the world, will believe this corrupt news, and we know we have the internet now, we have all those things that everything is instant. I mean, stuff that's happening on the other side of the earth, we can see it in just an instant on YouTube or on the news or wherever. It's all relevant and happens just in seconds. The world knows what's going on. And with that, I can remember 50 years ago, and I know you can too, thinking about, you know, the Lord coming back. Well, how's everybody going to know? How's everybody going to believe or not believe? Well, we can see that that's all set up today already in our news media or whatever else is on the online that people can get so easy. Everybody's walking around with phones today that you can get anything on your phone. It's like a little computer. So you see people walking down the street and this younger crowd, and they have those phones and they're all the time looking and doing and communicating, and it's a good tool to communicate with your children and your grandchildren and keep tabs on them. But the world knows that too. So we can look at 2 Timothy here in chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We've heard that read and preached and taught many, many, many times. But let's take the next step here. So Paul was writing this to Timothy and trying to prepare him for what was getting ready to happen in the world. But if we go right into chapter 4 there, it says, "I charge thee, therefore." Now, if you're accustomed to marking your Bible, you can take an arrow and underline, "I charge thee, therefore." And you can put your name there, if you want to, or I can put you there, or I can put me there. "I charge me, therefore, you therefore." and draw an arrow right back up to chapter 3 and what's going on in chapter 3. So that's the end of chapter 3, but there's a whole lot more before that when Paul was talking about being a good soldier in a time of apostasy, talking about that believers needs to be strong in their beliefs and understand and hold on to God and know the truth and be ready to give it out. So he's saying, I charge thee therefore. God is charging us therefore that we better hold on to these truths that he's just said right there. For all these scriptures are given by inspiration. God breathed these scriptures that we have in our hand. And he's saying, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, which is living, and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. I charge thee therefore, then you can draw an arrow down to verse 2 in chapter 4. It says, preach the word. Tell the word. Tell the truth. You may not be a preacher or a teacher, but you can surely tell your friends, you can surely tell your grandchildren and your children to hold on to God's word. Preach the word in season, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And doctrine. Now, what are we're going through a lesson. We're talking about basic Bible doctrine. So it's saying, preach the word. Be ready. Be ready for whatever comes your way. A good opportunity, a not a good opportunity. For the appearing of his kingdom is near, folks. Preach the word. Now, he says, how do you preach that word? Folks, the world, you start talking to some of these people that are entangled in the world, that believe the lie of the liberal society that we have. I saw this week on the news, some outfit from some other state way away is coming down here to Elizabeth and telling them to take the crosses off that hill. Now, how is that right? And the law of this country is going to stand by them kind of people because it's on public land. They're going to force the issue with lawyers because they have money from that crowd, that Hollywood crowd, that rich liberal crowd that believes, that don't believe in the Bible, that don't believe in anything. But they want to step on my toes and take my cross down. Now, I have a problem with that. It's on our doorstep, folks. It's on our doorstep. We can say, well, this happens there, and this happens way out west, or this happens up north. No, it's coming our way. Every day it's starting to come our way. I mean, who funds people like that to go around and say, take those crosses down? How ugly is that? They don't want to have anything. They don't want the truth. They don't want anybody to know the truth. Now, folks, if that ain't the signs of end time, I don't know what it is. And verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Basic Bible doctrine, they won't endure it. They won't listen to it. The time's here. It's here. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll heap. They're going to heap it on us. They're heaping it on our children. They're heaping it on our college students. Folks, if we don't stand up and tell our children what the truth is, what our grandchildren, what the truth is, in this church and at home, that crowd is heaping it on. They're pouring it on. When's it going to stop? When's it going to stop? It's going to stop when the Lord steps back in the clouds. Are you ready for that? Because when he steps back in the clouds, those that are dead in Christ rise first in the twinkling of an eye. Those that are alive and remain will be caught up with them. In a twinkling of an eye, it's over. And then everybody that's left will believe the delusion of the devil. Oh, it's fine. There was some kind of illness took them out of here. They'll believe something. Think what we've been through in the last 2 or 4 years with COVID. We've come right out of COVID and went right into a war. What's that? Does that speak to you? Young people sitting on the back row, are you saved? Do you know where you're going if the Lord comes back today? They're shaking their heads, yes. It could happen. It can happen. It's happening right in front of our eyes. You know, you look at Timothy here, and you look back at chapter 1, verse 5, and you find out where he got his grounding. His mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois. His grandmother and mother told him the truth. Most of us in here are grandmothers. Some of those young people are mothers. Tell your young'uns, tell your grandchildren the truth before it's too late and you're not able to tell them. Do you want them to believe the lie when it happens? Do you want them to not understand that the Bible is inspired by a holy God that breathed into man to write it down? We need to impart these truths. Now, up there it says, preach the word and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We're supposed to be kind about it, folks. I deal with some of these people in regulatory agencies. I really have to pray about it to not get ill with some of these people. Because they spout out their environmental. I can go down a whole path on that. And dealing with them, you can really get what's the opposite of being long suffering? I don't know. I guess I can say I can just get ill with them. I won't start throwing rocks. Let's say it that way. We have to do this with God's help when we run up against these folks. And there's plenty of them out there. So here we are, preaching the word in season. For the time will come. Has the time come? Is the handwriting on the wall as it was for Belshazzar? Is the handwriting on the wall for this country? For our politicians? for this great country that we live in, that people want to tear down. It's the best thing ever. If you ain't been out of this country, you need to go, and then you come back and kiss the ground when you get off the airport, when you get off the airplane. Folks, we're living in a crazy time. Crazy time. And it's nothing new. The Bible tells what's going on. And it says there in verse 4, and it says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables." Just stories. They can believe stories easier than they can believe the truth. "By which thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of my mystery." Tell the truth. There is no mystery. We have the answer to it now. The Bible talks about mysteries, but it turns around and reveals those mysteries in verses right after that, or the chapter right after that. Because the mysteries of the Old Testament was made real in the New Testament. Folks, people is going to come to the point, and they're already there, that they'll believe the lie. They will believe the lie. So, and in Romans 1:24 through 26 talks about the same thing. And it's at a point to where it says there that God gave them up to their what they wanted to do. That there's words that our society won't even say now. They've reduced it down to letters. This L, whatever, this letter, that letter, all those letters and what they mean. It's so much more easier to say that and accept that in society. We're just going to make all that stuff, oh, it's just fine. You can be what, and I'm telling you, folks, look what's going on in Florida. They're trying to stop the teachers from telling third graders through kindergarten or whatever what kind of gender they are. They have the right to tell my grandbabies that. Folks, it's going to get crazy. It's getting crazy. So how much more do we need to fight with the doctrine, with the Word of God, against stuff like that? Praise the Lord, we still have some politicians that read the Word and believe God for who He is, trying to do the right thing. And everybody knows that big entertainment community in Florida, smack dab down there in the middle of it, they're for that crowd too. It's on and on and on. We all know how bad it is, but we need to be reminded of that. So why do we need to be reminded of that? So that I can do this basic Bible doctrine, and you'd think, well, I've heard that before. Folks, we need to get tooled up, read up, and understand what's the truth here. Inspiration of the Scriptures, by which the Holy Spirit guided these writers' hands, and God breathed it into these people, and they wrote down God's Word, the truth. Do you believe that? Inspiration is different from revelation. Inspiration is different from illumination. We can get illuminated and be educated and read something and a light comes on. We understand it. It's not illumination. It's not. Inspiration is not human wisdom, human genius. It's not that. The object of inspiration is not man. It's not what we think, what we could think, what we're going to think, or how we think, or how we get illuminated, or have a revelation, or ever how you want to say it. It's the writings. It's God's word. It's not man. It's about this right here. It's about this word. In 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." He gives it to us. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Folks, people are afraid of the truth. They're afraid of this truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that this book is God's breathed word. They're afraid of it. They don't want it to shine a light on their sinful condition, or their sinful ways of life, or their sinful whatever they've chose how to live. You just got to watch TV for a while. You can't even hardly watch it with your grandchildren, anything. You can't even watch the news with your grandchildren, with young kids. You can't watch anything on there hardly anymore. That if at the age I am and we are, we can sit there and look at it and discern that that's wrong. But little kids looking at that stuff, it's not good today, boys. None of it is. Can't hardly even watch cartoons. That some of these new cartoons, it's hard to go back and find Bugs Bunny for them to watch. It's out of hand, folks. It's coming at us from every direction. It's coming at our kids from every direction. It was the very word that was inspired. It was verbal, it was plenary, it was without error, it was inspired, it was complete. Proofs? What do I need to prove it? I've got the Bible. It testifies of itself. The text, the unity of the text, from the Old Testament to from Genesis to Revelations, the ribbon of blood that flows through that Bible, all the way, we see Christ all the way through it. From the end of the beginning, the historical, the archaeological history, the stuff that's been found, the Dead Sea Scrolls and the cities that's been unearthed, and all the truths of all that matches timelines that the Bible talks about, the scientific accuracy of it, the medical accuracy of it, talking about the life and the blood in the beginning. We think modern medicine, but it was there. The testimony on the influence of lives on lives and nations. We have the influence that it had on the nation of Israel in the Old Testament as they came out of Egypt. They kept trying to fall back into sin. God kept dealing with them. Finally, they went across the Jordan River, possessed the land, and didn't do exactly what God said. And we see over the years, the world took them. Is that where we're heading right now? It could be. It could be for this great country. Because we're young compared to what happened then. This country's young. But it was this country. If you read back about how it all got started and the godly men that started it and the Constitution and all the papers that were written, They were godly people that started this country. God was on our side. We're living on the past, folks. I talk about this often with people that are trying to hire people to work today. You can't find good employees. I see more people my age in their middle 60s being hard to do jobs because they'll work. Because they'll come out to work. Oh, I'm not coming out today. My alarm clock didn't go off. Or I just don't feel like it. Well, you all know, you all have been there, all of you have worked jobs, and you get up and you go to work whether you feel good or not, unless you're down to bed with flu. That's just the way it was, the way it is, the way it should be. Not today. The society has affected that even the work ethics of our country. But the Bible has an influence on everybody. I'd much rather have an employee, unskilled, but knows the Savior. Most of the time, they're teachable. You can get on the site and say, okay, I'm going to show you how to do this, and we're going to take off and do it, and if you have any problems, let me know. And they're not yakking on the radio, or they're not complaining. They come to you and say, can you show me how to do this again? And you pray with them and say, okay, now, we're going to get this right. And they turn into good employees because they know the Lord. And just another proof of what God does for us and what His Word does for us. Influence on lives and nations that the Word has had. And then the testimony of Jesus Christ. We had that class last month or two, talking about Christ and all that He did for us and all He's going to do for us. What He's doing now, what He's doing today. He's preparing a place for us, people. I look forward to that day. Death don't bite no more. We're not afraid of that. Because we know when we shut our eyes here, we'll wake up in the presence of the Lord. That's His promise. I believe it, and I'm holding on to it. And nobody's going to change my mind on that. The world's definitely not going to change my mind on that. So we're talking about the Word here. Then the results of inspiration. We have the written record that is complete, trustworthy, credible, and is whole in all its parts. The Old Testament agrees with the New Testament, the New Testament agrees with that. Written 1,500, 2,000 years apart, and they all just fit right together. Isn't that something? The authority of the written record. We have a written record that is authoritative to our being, to my soul. It speaks to my spirit. It's new every day. It's new every year. It's new every 10 years, every 20 years. I can see stuff marked in my Bibles that I marked 15 or 20 years ago that was speaking to me then. How does it speak to you? Do you slow down long enough to let it speak to you? It's authoritative in our lives, folks. It'll change us. It'll touch us. It'll guide us. It'll give us peace in this world of troubles. Revelation. The Word, we've heard it. The giving and receiving of truth. It gives us the truth, but do we receive it? See, you've got this crowd out here that does not want to receive it, and they will get ugly with you if you ain't careful. And you've got to just be careful and not get pulled into big arguments and be ugly with them. Just give them the Word and let the Word do the work. I mean, we can have wisdom about all this, but we have to have wisdom bathed with the Holy Spirit that helps us minister to others. It's the truth. It's a revelation. Have you ever witnessed to somebody or been around it and seen somebody get saved? See the understanding, look at their eyes, and see the light come on? It's an amazing thing. That's not us. That's the Holy Spirit doing that work. We don't get anybody saved. It's the Holy Spirit and God's Word. We have to trust it and use it. It's a tool. And that's what he was talking about over to Timothy. He said, take the Word and use it wisely. Inspiration. It was inspired, but it's inspiration to us because it is the truth. And it's preservation. It's been inspired, but it's been extended to us. We have the Word today. We have it today as it was when it was written. We're going to go through that Textus Receptus and all that stuff. How we believe, and I believe in my heart, the Holy Spirit has told me that the King James Version is the best English translation we have today. And I'm going to hold on to that from now on. They can just put my King James Version right in the casket with me, and I'll just go on with it. So we have to hold on to that Word. And then illumination. You ever get it? You ever be reading something and all of a sudden you say, man, I never got that till right now. Has that ever happened to you? Illumination through the Holy Spirit. You're digging and all of a sudden, well, I never saw that. I get that now. That's what the Word can do for you. It's illumination. It's the truth. And it's complete. We call it the canon, the canonicity of it. It's the inspired truth. The whole thing together is the truth. You can't take a piece out of it. You got to work it all together. We know we've seen people take parts of verses or sentences out of verses or words out of verses and try to make something out of it. It ain't. The devil can do that. He's a genius in using people to pull a sentence out and say, well, see there? Let's use baptism for an example. You got to be baptized to be saved. We know that's not the truth. Christ does all the saving. Baptism is just a testimony to show folks I've accepted Christ as my Savior and I identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It doesn't save you. The Holy Spirit does the saving. God's Word. Folks, in conclusion today, we can say all the Scriptures, every word of the Scriptures has been inspired by God. I'm going to have to hurry up here. Inspiration applies primarily to the writing of the Word, not the writers. We want to think about the writing of the Word. Because the Scriptures are God-breathed, they are without error. They're without error. They're inherent. And they have authenticity. The doctrine's been preserved till today for us. The inspiration of the Word has been preserved. We're going to talk about that later on. Preservation of God's Word is ultimately based on God's faithfulness to keep it, to keep His Word forever. Can I trust the Word? I trust Him for salvation. Why couldn't I trust the Word? Trust the Holy Spirit that's speaking through the Word. Folks, we need to teach it. We need to pass it on to this generation that's growing up beside of us. okay, I guess I'm going to have to quit. I could go on. We'll start again tomorrow or next week and talk about some other things about the doctrine of the Bible. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for your word, for the Holy Spirit that dwells richly in the word and in us and through you, and you give it to us. And God, we thank you for it. Lord, give us a good day here in church. As the pastor preaches the word, Lord, let it speak to hearts, change lives, as only it can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.